find out just what the people will submit to, and you have found out the exact amount of injustice and wrong which will be imposed upon them. And these will continue until they are resisted with either words or blows or both. The limits of tyrants are prescribed by the endurance of those whom they oppress. And this week's opening quote comes from Frederick Douglass. Welcome to Surviving the Matrix, ladies and gentlemen. My name is Maxwell Egan. It's a pleasure to be with you once again, and I will be your host for the next hour. Yes, ladies and gentlemen, the lengths to which tyrants will go with their tyranny has always been prescribed by the oppressed. It's always been what the people are prepared to take and how much the people are prepared to let their politicians oppress them, and that's as far as the politicians ever go. And that's what they do. That's why they just turn up the screws a little bit more, a little bit more, a little bit more, just to see how much people will take before they fight back. And when the people fight back, they just back down a little bit, and then they just turn it up a little bit slower next time, and then they just keep going until they can keep ramping the speed up and get back to full steam ahead with the agenda. And that's what they seem to be doing at the moment, folks. They are most certainly going full steam ahead with the agenda, simply because people are not fighting back. People are not saying anything. They're not doing anything. They're being cowed by the look of their police forces for the most part. That's what you find. People are simply not prepared to say anything because of the sheer brutality that they will be met with by the honourable protectors of society, our boys in blue. That's right, they're not in blue anymore. They're in black Kevlar body armour with automatic weapons and helmets and tasers and all sorts of torture devices that they carry on their belts. So I guess they're not the friendly boys in blue anymore, and that is the problem. And that's why people are simply not prepared to speak out against what's happening. Apart from the fact that the police look like Gestapo, they look like brutal terrorists, and they don't look like anybody who's going to help you or be friendly in any way, they're certainly not people you can ask directions from anymore, folks. But then I suppose it's also somewhat embarrassing to go up and ask directions from someone who likes to go out dressed like Batman. But the point I'm trying to make here, folks, is that people are far too intimidated by being confronted with people dressed like Batman on the street or being met with such brutality and intolerance at the police desk that they're just not prepared to speak out against the system. But, of course, the problem that we find with such an approach is that by not speaking out, what people are doing is, in fact, allowing the system to get worse and to get more and more oppressive all around them, simply because they're not participating in policy. They're not participating in what's happening. This is the problem with people not paying attention to politics, is they end up ruled by very evil people who do very evil things. And that's what we're seeing in all Western countries at the moment. Not just Western countries, but also in any countries that the Western financial system has its tentacles into, which seems to be just about everywhere. But most certainly in all Western countries, such as England, America, Canada, Australia, France, many countries in Europe, we are seeing a very definite slide into a very, very oppressive form of fascism. What we are seeing in all of these countries is politicians who are completely out of control, who are all serving a globalist, corporatist agenda. Every single one of them has sold the people of their country down the river and is now in the process of consolidating the control grid. And the only thing that's going to stop these moronic, psychopathic, sociopathic, child-killing, mass-murdering criminals that we have as politicians is the people themselves. And the way it has to be done is by the people standing up and calling things for what they are. Just really looking at the world. Don't buy into what the media tells you the world is. Look at it for yourself. And then turn and put the focus on those people who are creating the problems. I'll tell you, folks, the problems in the world aren't being created by ISIS. They're not being created by Assad's regime in Syria. They're being created by the West, because the West is ISIS. And the West is what is toppling all of these regimes and creating all of this terrorism around the world. That's right, folks. It's our governments, and if not directly our governments, then governments that they are supporting, that are creating all of this global instability And it's about time we caught it for what it is, because they're destroying the world around us and they're locking our own countries down into a nightmare police state while they're doing it. And they're doing it and they're getting away with it because they are all psychotic criminals, every last one of them. That's all modern politics is, folks, is a glamorized, glossed over, organized crime syndicate. That's all it is. Politicians are not your friends. They are, in fact, the scum of the earth, the warmongers, the child killers, and the polluters of this planet. And they are supported in this action by an utterly corrupt, criminal, and tightly controlled media, which infiltrates the public's consciousness with lie after lie after lie, and sells the entire slavery system to the world. These politicians and the criminal media that sells their lies have stolen everything that makes mankind who it is. They've stolen all of our history from us. They've stolen our medicines from us. They've stolen our ability to be ourselves from us. And they've led us into a blind alley of slavery run by a banking cartel. That's what they've done, folks. And they've imposed a false version, a false idea of what success is in the minds of the people. So everybody's chasing rainbows and chasing dreams that don't exist. And it's an absolute joke. And if humanity continues on down this path, then we are signing not only our own death warrants, but the death warrants of this entire planet and everything that lives on it. And the funny thing, folks, is that most people in the Western world look at all this and they call it progress. And they really have stolen everything from us, folks. They've stolen our creativity from us. They've stolen our ability to be who we are from us. They've stolen our health from us. Most certainly, they've stolen our health from us. There are so many people that support Big Pharma and support the pharmaceutical industry. It just blows my mind how many people are unaware of the massive benefits that were made to health in years long past and the things that have been squashed by Big Pharma so they can sell their chemicals to the world. It really, really concerns me that so many people are unaware of the things that this government has done. So many people are unaware that there was actually a bill passed, the Cancer Act of 1939, which actually made it illegal to say that cancer was curable because they didn't want to let the cat out of the bag, basically. They didn't want people to know this is one of the most curable diseases on the planet because they hadn't discovered a synthetic cure for it yet, because there probably isn't one, because it's a naturally occurring disease and so can be cured with natural remedies. And so they use it as one of the most profitable diseases on the planet when it is, in fact, one of the most curable. Actually, folks, if you go to my website, thecrowhouse.com, and go to the recent headlines, you'll find a link to an article about the Cancer Act of 1939, and I think it would be prudent if those out there who are listening to this show were to inform themselves about this act and to inform their friends about this act and to let the world know what's really going on with this health industry. There's also things like Royal Raymond Rife. I mentioned this on an interview the other day. If you've never looked up the Rife microscope and the life and times of Royal Raymond Rife and the end of all diseases that was declared at a dinner party in the 1930s, I suggest you look up what this gentleman had to offer the world as well. So diseases can be cured. Our health could be much, much more stable than what it is. The entire overall health of the human race could be greatly improved simply by eliminating Big Pharma, eliminating any restrictions on the use of cannabis, and of course eliminating the governments that we have from their positions of power and replacing them with people of some responsibility. You know, we've got to get rid of these psychopaths that are running the world and replace them with some people who actually know how to run some infrastructure in a responsible manner, and not simply sell their souls to whatever it is they've sold them to and sell their country out to corporate interests the way the current crop of criminal politicians seems to be doing. With every waking moment that they suffer to crawl upon the surface of the earth, they just seem to steal and steal and steal. That's all they do. Although I suppose it's not all they do, they also seem to do a hell of a lot of lying, and if Mr. Heath in England is anything to go by, they also seem to like having sex with children an awful lot, and perhaps we should do something about that as well. And they're very good at covering things up as well, folks. They like to cover up all this information, but sometimes it just sneaks out and there's nothing they can do about it. And they certainly like to cover up anybody who's speaking out against them. By the way, folks, if you are listening to this, Facebook is no longer allowing any videos that I post to show up in anybody's feed on Facebook. I can make a post and it will show up on someone's feed, but if I post a video, usually it won't. So if you are listening to this show on YouTube, it would be great if you could possibly share the show with your friends on Facebook, because it doesn't matter if I post it there, Facebook will not share it anyway. And this is just another way that they like to suppress the flow of information, folks. They certainly don't like people who are speaking the truth, and they certainly don't like people who are calling things for what they are. And there is certainly a huge counterintelligence operation happening at the moment on this planet as well, folks, to muddy the waters of the alternative media, to muddy the waters of the truth movement, and to pit everybody against each other. So be very careful of anybody naming people in the truth movement as shills if they haven't met them. Be very wary of anybody who's attempting to squash anything that may look like unity or forces getting together into a united, cohesive response. Because many of these people are divisionists who are literally terrified of unity, because if the people were to unite, then we would be a force to be reckoned with, and many of the people in the alternative media would also lose their income. Beware of anybody who is solely focused on their own agenda and who is saying that their way is the only way, because most of these people are either idiots or government operatives, folks. So it's very, very important that you think for yourself in what you're doing in this movement. And if you need people to talk to again, folks, we've got the Full Circle Project up and running. All you have to do there is go and sign up to the Community Connector and find people in your area, start a local discussion group, local action group, and see what balls you can get rolling in your own community. But don't be afraid to unite with people, folks, because we need unity. There's nobody who's going to get through this on their own. There's no alternate community you can go and join that's going to be safe, because they still exist on this earth. And we have to rein this system back under control before it eats the entire earth up. And there is nowhere that's safe from it. We have to turn and we have to confront it. We need a full spectrum response to what these criminals are doing. But it's got to be a peaceful response. It's a non-violent response. It's simply a new meme. It's simply a new idea in the minds of the people, whereby suddenly they feel empowered, and they feel empowered enough to act, and to act in a responsible manner. And that's what we want to do, folks, because if we do that, then we can take this world back. We can wrest it from the hands of the psychopaths who are now running it. And if you think the world isn't run by psychopaths, folks, just go and look at the news. Look what's happening in Syria now. That's an interesting thing, isn't it? We've got Obama saying that he has approved airstrikes against any targets that fight back against the Syrian rebels. He's doing this in order to combat ISIS, but of course the Syrian rebels are ISIS. So what Obama is doing is covertly declaring war on Syria and offering air support to ISIS, who the United States is pretending to be fighting in other countries. They're actually giving them air support in Syria. So this is an absolute joke. Obama has just revealed himself to be a psychotic moron who speaks in doublespeak. I mean, I know he's only a puppet and he's doing the will of the banksters anyway, but I really don't know how this man is able to sleep at night or keep a straight face when he talks to people, because he's saying we're going to support ISIS in airstrikes against ISIS. What the hell is this? He's a moron, he's a psychopath, he's a warmonger, and he's a terrorist, like every other politician in Western governments who is supporting this fake and wholly contrived war on terror, which is in fact a war of terror, which is being waged by a criminal elite against the people of this planet under the pretext of keeping them safe. I mean, let's just call things for what they are, shall we? Some people say Obama is the lesser of two evils. I think he's just as psychotic as Benjamin Netanyahu. He just pretends that he isn't, and he pretends that he takes the other side of the fence. In fact, they're both a couple of psychopathic, child-killing, warmongering terrorists who both need to be removed from office and taken to The Hague and hung for their crimes. Along with the entire Bush administration and every politician in Israel who supports the divisionist, warmongering policies of the Netanyahu regime or seeks to continue to repress the Palestinian people. And let's not forget all the other governments that supported them with these criminal actions as well, folks. Let's not forget the Cameron regime in England, or what used to be England before the politicians got hold of it. We've also got the Abbott regime in Australia, which is doing its best to destroy the country and impoverish the people and support global terrorism by funding and helping with this fake war on terror as well. So let's just call things what they are, folks. Our governments are out of control, and it's about time we stood up, pointed the finger directly at them, and named them for exactly what they are. mass murderers, warmongers, terrorists, sociopaths, and people who support the imposition of a financial slavery system over their own populace. That is the Western politician in the modern world. I tell you, folks, government would work fine if it wasn't for the infiltration into government by politicians, because the last people we need running government are politicians. We need people of intelligence and people of integrity, and neither of those traits can be found in the modern politician. In fact, a modern politician needs to be a barefaced liar and sociopath by default, because if they are not, they will never succeed in modern politics. And I know that's a terrible thing to say, folks, but unfortunately, it's a reality. And if you think it's not a reality, well, I guess you're just not looking at the world. And folks, you might have noticed that the shows have changed a little bit lately. You might have noticed that I've got a little bit more outspoken about the criminal cabal that's running this place. You might notice I've got a little bit more frustrated at the alternate media. You might notice I've got a little bit more frustrated at how people are getting distracted, going down rabbit holes rather than paying attention to the situation at hand. And the reason I've changed tactics a little bit, folks, is because, to paraphrase Frank Zappa again, what I'm kind of involved in here is a low-key war against apathy, because apathy is the big problem on this planet. And what I'm attempting to do with these shows is not only empower people, but annoy people to the point that they might actually notice their environment and decide that they'd like to take some steps to do something about the situation that we are currently in. Because people really have to start calling things for what they are. It really blows my mind how people can go through such things as austerity and let their governments get away with it, simply stand by and let it happen and not call their governments out for being criminals. It isn't that they stand by and let it happen. They may protest about it. They may shake their fist about it. They may say that we don't want to do this. They may petition them. But what's the point of petitioning a criminal and asking him to change a decision that he's made? What you've got to do is call him out as the criminal that he is. I mean, what is austerity, folks? Austerity is the government making you pay the private bankers who have put you in debt. It's putting you in a situation where you've got to tighten your belt and suffer hardship in order to pay off a debt to these criminals who are milking the wealth of the planet anyway. All the profit that these bankers have has been gained by ill-gotten means. All of the debt that you owe them is absolutely fictitious. And nobody calls the governments out for being the criminal sociopaths that they are for supporting such a criminal economic slavery system. And the question is, why is that? Why don't people call things for what they are? When you have these marches against austerity, why are you having these speeches full of rhetoric and shaking your fist at the government and saying we're going to petition these people or we're going to vote a new politician in? There's no point voting a new politician in. The system's corrupt. Call it for what it is. What's the point of getting another sociopath to replace the sociopath that's already in there? And face it, folks, all of the politicians are sociopaths. If they weren't sociopaths, they wouldn't have got a job to begin with, because that is a prerequisite for being a politician in the modern world, at least a successful politician. I mean, you might get some guys of integrity that go in there, but they never get to positions of power, positions where they can make a difference, because only the sociopaths get to those positions. Only people who are willing to toe the party line and continue to support the current agenda and milk the wealth of this people and introduce this economically based technocracy ever make it to a position where they may be able to affect change, because they have to have people in there who are going to toe the party line. They can't have people in there who are actually going to tell the truth and rock the boat. So there's no point voting for other politicians, not unless you start your own party yourself and simply don't campaign. Just put it out there that you're an alternative to the criminal system that now exists, and make that your campaign line. The fact that you're going to depose the current criminal elite from power and change the control grid back to something that actually supports the people rather than the banking cartels. Make that your election platform and see how you go. And to hell with campaigning, to hell with the media, and to hell with the politicians. It's kind of interesting how people believe that we need politicians to run government, folks, when the one thing that's wrong with government is politicians. It really is. Politicians are people who simply don't have the intellectual aptitude, physical prowess, or artistic ability to be anything other than somebody who's completely fake, and someone who's a complete liar, and someone who likes to control others, because they have no real artistic ability or expression of their own, other than inflicting their will upon unsuspecting people who put them in positions of management. That seems to be the way politicians get through life, and they milk enormous amounts of wealth from the public in order to do it. They, of course, grant themselves absolutely exorbitant wages. The Prime Minister of Australia, for example, is one of the highest paid leaders in the world, if not the highest paid leader in the world, for the 40 days of work that he actually does, which is essentially 40 days of sociopathic social terrorism that he wages against his citizens. He gets paid this ridiculous amount of money. And that's what it is, folks. It's social terrorism. You know, this whole fear concept, this whole no jab, no pay, let's remove welfare payments from people, let's do everything we can to screw the people, to put the nails in, to make everybody pay every penny and squeeze every single cent we can get out of these citizens, these useless eaters, these people who take up all this room in the country, these people that I control. Let me see how much I can milk from them and how much I can funnel into the pockets of my corporate masters while I lick their butt every night. That is the attitude of these sociopathic, warmongering criminals like Tony Abbott and the entire ilk of Western politicians, and not just Western politicians. I mean, most of the world, folks, I'd say if you're a politician and you've got serious mental problems. And that's the problem with this planet. That's one of the big problems with this planet, folks, is a deranged state of mental health in the entire human condition. The whole planet just doesn't seem to be able to think clearly. Nobody seems to be able to see a way through the fog. Everybody's got their head down rabbit holes or is pointing their finger, only they're pointing it in the wrong direction. And folks, they're pointing their fingers at the wrong people, because who they should be pointing their finger at really is themselves. I mean, we have to stand up and make a difference, and it has to come down to all of us to do it. We have to stand up and make a difference ourselves. We can't wait for someone else to do it. And yeah, sure, I call out all the politicians all the time because of what they are, but I can't make a difference by doing that, not unless everybody else stands up and calls things out for what they are with me. And that's what I'm trying to encourage people to do. We have had a great deal of success so far with the Full Circle Project. There's been a lot of people signing up to the Community Connector, and we've almost got the rest of the website finished, so that should be up very soon. I'm sorry it's taking so long. As I said on an interview the other day, I'm traveling at the moment, and so is everybody else involved in the project. There's very few people that have been spending time at home. Everybody's got personal stuff that they're doing and traveling and family matters to attend to. So it's been a little bit difficult because we're doing all this on a shoestring budget, and we're all doing it with our own time. So it's taking a little time to put it together, but we have had a great response. There's been a lot of people signing up to the Community Connector and starting to form their own action groups. And that's something that you can do now. Even just if you get a discussion group going in your own local area, then you've started on the first path to making a difference. You really have. Because you've got to start creating this cohesive unity in your local community. It's imperative that we have this. Without a unified response and without some sort of cohesion based in respectful discourse with each other, then we're not going to get anywhere. We need to be respectful and we need to approach things in the right way, but we absolutely need to call things for what they are. We need to direct our attention to ourselves, to motivate ourselves, to link our communities up, and then get our communities to direct their attention towards the root cause of the problem, which is the legislation that's been created by government, which has created all of the hardships on this planet that we're facing. If we do this in the right way, we will make a difference, and in the process, we'll be waking up the man on the street because we're using language they understand. And once we've got their attention, folks, then we can alert them to the fact that there are other things that are seriously wrong and that this rabbit hole actually goes a lot deeper than what they first thought. But first we have to get their attention. And what the Full Circle Project is a mechanism by which you can do that. So do go and get involved in the Full Circle Project. Do go and link up to the Community Connector and start some local discussion group at least in your area so you can at least get to know people, discuss things that concern your local community, and discuss ways you can push the project forward and push the movement forward and get other people on board and shift the consciousness of this planet. Because that's what we need to do, folks. We need a global shift in consciousness, but that's not going to come without a global shift in perspective. People have to understand that they actually are powerful and that they can make a difference. People have to stop viewing themselves as inadequate. They have to stop judging themselves by external parameters that are provided to them by the system, which are designed to disempower them. They've got to stop looking at all this stuff and looking at the world in this way, they've got to start looking at themselves in a more holistic and realistic way. And that's how we can begin to make a difference. I think we've been given every opportunity to do it, folks. As I said, I think we've got every opportunity to make this world a far better place if we just choose to participate. And that's what this is all about. So do get involved in the Full Circle Project. And we have, as I said, had a great response from the project as it is. And it's just going to get better as the days move forward. Speaking of moving the days forward, also, just to segue into another topic for a second, there's a chance I may be off air next week. I'm not sure whether I'll have time to get on air and do a show or not. I've got to leave here on this Sunday, then I have to travel to Australia again, back to Australia, and then I've got a seminar 3 days after I arrive back in Australia that I haven't actually prepared for yet. So I have to go home and prepare for a seminar, which I will be speaking at on Friday of next week, and I'm not sure whether I will get home in time to be able to do a show on Friday night. So we'll just play that by ear, folks. There's a chance I may be off next week, but if that happens, then I will be back on the following week. But I will try to get home in time, and we'll try to get a show done so that you don't have to miss out on whatever next week's message will be. Because I never know what they're going to be, folks. I never know what the message is going to be till I start the show and begin talking, and then things just come out the way they do. But I never really plan this stuff. Sometimes I have the odd topic that I know I'm going to touch on, but I never really know what I'm going to say. And very often the notes that I take and the topics that I wish to touch on get forgotten about and put by the wayside because the show ends up over before I got to them. Because I do tend to go off on tangents sometimes. As I have just done, I would like to say, because it is now break time, so I seem to have gone off on one of those tangents again, right here as I was talking about going off on tangents. It's wonderful how irony works, if that can be called irony, but I think it is. I think it's quite ironic that that's what I was doing and the clock got away from me. But I'm going to have to go and have a break now, so I'll leave it there for now, and thank you very much for joining me on the air today. It's always a pleasure to have your company, and I'll speak to you again in a few minutes. Thanks for listening. And welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. Yeah, so the thing about the situation that we're facing today, folks, is that it's really, you know, with all the problems, I mean, and there's a hell of a lot of problems, but with all of this stuff, it's actually a time of great human empowerment. It's a time of great revealing, a time of great knowing. You know, for all of the problems we face and for all the controlling nature of the system, there are so many people that are waking up to it. There are so many people that are waking up to their own inner power and realizing that there must be something more, realizing that reality shouldn't function in this way. You know, we live on a beautiful, beautiful world. And all that really exists on this world, if you look at our social system, all that really exists is people. All the countries and all the other stuff, all the economy and all this stuff, we made it all up. You know, the only reason we think it's important is because it's what's presented to us and reported to us in the media all the time. The media promotes the concept that the economy is all important. The media promotes the concept that we have to worry about terrorists and we have to be concerned about our relationships with other countries and all this sort of stuff. The other countries are just another fiction, the same as our countries. I mean, England's a fiction, same as France. They're both fictions. What there are people that live on two sides of the channel. That's all it is. It doesn't matter what nationality they call themselves. Nationalism is a kind of a sickness that we have. Of course, it's a sickness we can use. We can invoke people's national pride if we can use the right language and get them to stand up against the criminals that are stealing their nation from them. If we can kind of reorient their perspective to understanding what the nation truly is, because a nation is a fiction. But even though it is a fiction, if you're going to consider it to be something real, then what the nation is the people of your country. It's not the lines on the map, it's not the name, it's the national identity, which comes from the people themselves. And that's the only way you really should view a nation, if you're going to believe in nations at all. Then you need to view it from a human perspective, and that's what we don't do, folks. We don't view anything from a human perspective, we always view it from a corporate or nationalistic perspective. And when I say nationalistic perspective, I mean a perspective which puts the nation as the state. But the nation state and the nation are two different things. The nation state is the fictional and wholly corrupt government entity, whereas the nation is the people themselves. it's kind of like two separate realities that have been superimposed over each other. And that's something this system does very often. You know, you can look at the difference between the nation and the nation state. And it's kind of like the same difference between the living man and the corporate entity, the fictional person on the birth certificate. You know, how you've got two realities. You've got one where you are living and one where you are dead. And it's the same thing, really, if you look at the nation and the nation state. You've got one that consists of the living people and one that consists of the fictional paper-based government entity that controls the living people. And whether you call it a nation, I mean, I don't know. I just use that word because it's a word people are familiar with. And it's a good way of helping people differentiate between the people and the government by looking at the difference between the nation and the nation state. So that's just the wording that I use, regardless of any legal connotations attached to the words. I think people should worry about legal connotations that attach to words in normal everyday speak when they're speaking to normal people, because all that's fiction. It doesn't matter. You know, if you say something and you know what you mean, it doesn't matter what the legal definition is, not unless you're talking to legal people. Of course, if you're talking to legal people, like if you're talking to a lawyer, or if Batman comes up and talks to you on the street, I mean, sorry, if one of our police officers comes up and talks to you on the street, then, of course, you need to be aware of what legal terminology you're using. But in normal everyday circumstances, people who worry about which particular word someone uses on a radio show, these people, I mean, they're just splitting hairs and they're fighting a storm in a teacup. I mean, it's ridiculous. You know, there's bigger fish to fry than worrying about whether someone speaks in the correct legal terminology on a radio show and exercising your ego in order to point out that they don't. And I see a lot of this in chat threads and stuff as well. It's quite amazing, really, the amount of effort people go to create arguments with other people. It really is quite remarkable that this happens. And it's really amazing how many very condescending researchers out there will post articles using other people's names in order to bring traffic to their websites in the hope of luring others into their own dark little Puritan and yet tyrannical world. But this is something else that happens quite often online. And it's an interesting ploy that people go to, but obviously these type of people are suffering from very strong inferiority complexes and insecurity complexes. Otherwise, they'd simply be able to get out there and walk their talk. And that's why you've got to be wary, folks, of people that use other people's names to drag traffic to their website in order to lead you down rabbit holes. And there's so many people that do this now. What you've really got to be doing, folks, is listening to information and seeing what resonates in yourself and not following people. You know, we don't want to be following leaders in this movement, folks, because nobody's got all the answers. And you'll find that there's a lot of people that are making a lot of money in this movement by selling conspiracy theories to people which are unfounded and unprovable. And none of the theories that they're selling you are suggesting remedies. None of them are actually anything that will help deal with the current human condition. And as I've said before, if we can actually change the current human condition and rein these out-of-control terrorist governments back under control, then all the mysteries that we're searching for the answers for will become accessible and all the answers will be revealed by default. And that's where the focus needs to be. We have to gain control of this system and lead humanity back to a point of safety so that we can discover what really happened and what brought us here and formulate a workable plan to create a viable future free of the economic shackles of the current slavery system and the psychopaths who run it. But of course, in order to do this, folks, where it begins is by calling things for what they are. That's why I can do a show in a manner such as the one I have done today. I can call David Cameron a sociopathic little warmongering terrorist. I can say the same about Barack Obama, Tony Abbott, and all these people, not because I hate them, not because I'm judgmental, but simply because it's what they are. And if you doubt that that's what they are, then all you have to do is look at the state of the world and the wars that all of these psychopathic terrorist warmongers are creating and participating in. You just got to look at Obama saying he's going to be giving logistical support and air support to ISIS in Syria. This is just demonstrating what I've been saying. And I can say these things about these people not because I hate them, not because I wish to insult them or create any animosity. I can say it simply because it's true. But I don't judge them for it, folks. I think there's a place for evil in the world, because what evil does is it gives the rest of human consciousness an opportunity to overcome evil and to do good in all that they do. Evil, fear, and deprivation of the liberty of consciousness gives people the opportunity to liberate their consciousness and to overcome evil and to overcome fear and to overcome all that holds them back. And that's why it's necessary for these things to exist. But what people need to do in order to combat evil and to hold it at bay and to change the human condition is to acknowledge it, to confront it, and to call it for what it is. Evil is created via a state of imbalance. And that imbalance is created by people doing in practice the opposite of what they should be doing in principle. Disharmony is the result, and evil is the manifestation of that disharmony. And everything about this system trains us and teaches us to always act in a state of imbalance, because it gives us a false vision of what balance is. It tells us we need to be economically balanced and socially balanced and balanced according to the parameters of society. But this society is an insane, psychopathic society which is designed to eat up the planet and discard the people in the process. And within this society is an education system that teaches us we need to find economic and social balance, two things which cannot really exist within the parameters of this society. And that itself creates imbalance, and that itself gives us the false parameters that we use to measure ourselves up to, and the fractured state of human consciousness and the economically driven, spiritually bankrupt societies that we have created are the inevitable result. You know, we've got to start calling things for what they are, folks. We've got to turn and face the evil that exists on this planet, and we've got to call it for what it is. And that's why I've been doing these shows in the manner that I have lately, because I've tried the nice way of waking people up. I've tried speaking calmly and quietly. I've tried speaking in an empowering manner. And I think there's enough information out there for people to really be able to discover themselves now, for people to be able to realize there really is only one self here. We're all part of the self, and we all can make a difference if we choose to apply ourselves. I think there's enough information out there to alert people to this fact now. It all comes down to whether people are willing to put it all into action and get out there and participate in making the world a better place. Because that's what we need to do. You know, if we just sit back and talk about this the way we have been for so long, then we're not really going to get anywhere, because talk is cheap. And as much as we like to get philosophical about things and sit down and debate this and left and right and this and that and left and right and whatever, we really do need to apply ourselves to the current human dilemma, because it is a dilemma, folks. And we need to really do it quickly. We do. We're running out of time, because this control grid, this smart grid, this whole technocratic system is really locking things down. And there's so many people now distracted down rabbit holes, such as the flat earth rabbit hole, which leads nowhere and doesn't bring about any social change. All the conspiratorial rabbit holes that people get led down, none of which bring any social change, and all which tie people up in theories and conjecture and looking for unicorns for years to come. None of these things lead to any remedies. And we've been researching things for years and years now, folks. We know that the Earth and everything on the Earth and the history of the Earth and everything about the Earth is very different to what we've been told. We know this for a fact simply because we've been lied to about everything. What makes you think there's something you haven't been lied to about? So we know all this, and it's reached a point where it's irrelevant, because we already know it. We know that the people who control this place are laughing out the other side of their faces, because they don't teach any truth to the people at all. And if they can get away with something, then they most certainly will, even if it's just for the sake of it, because that's just the type of people that they are. So there's no good debating any of these things, folks. What we need to do is acknowledge that our system itself and every country on this planet is run by corrupt individuals who are lying to their people and are indulging in wars, terrorism, and corrupt financial slavery systems which they are inflicting upon the populace of their countries. That's really all we need to acknowledge, because that is the ultimate truth of what's going on this planet, regardless of all the noise that exists in the general vicinity of the truth. That is the truth. And it isn't until we take control of that situation and rectify that situation that we're going to find answers to any of the other things that we're looking for answers for. And this is the message that I've been conveying to people for so very long. But it gets to a point, folks, where you just get frustrated. I do. I mean, I've been doing this for 8 years. I've been calm. I've been collected. I've tried every message of empowerment that I can think of. I've gone down every rabbit hole I can think of. I've tried every mechanism I can think of, both within the legal system and outside the legal system, in the common law movement, in the trust law movement. I've tried everything I can think of to try to wake up and motivate the people on the street. Mostly I've been attacked for it and vilified by shills and insecure morons in the truth movement who think that anything that's going to bring about unity is a terrible government plot. They have totally bought into the program that we will control any opposition. I mean, you know, this is a program and people thereby think that every idea that anybody has is going to be controlled, and people just buy into it and jump down that rabbit hole. And of course, there's the other ilk of people who are making a lot of money out of the truth movement. And of course, these people are scared and terrified that anybody might unify and their fight will be over, because for many, many people, the fight against the system is their lives. And these people would not know what to do if mankind suddenly became free, unless it was free under their terms and according to the scenarios that they promote as being the only way. That's what you find with a lot of this stuff. So the alternate media and the so-called truth movement has in many ways been its own worst enemy in the need by those members of these communities for self-glory and self-gratification, the need for people to make a name for themselves. And that's a weird thing. I've never really understood that. I mean, I'm just not into making a name for myself, folks. If I was, I'd probably use my real name. But Max Egan is, of course, a pseudonym, as most people know, or anybody should know. And it's not about the name. It's not about fame and fortune. It's about changing the human condition. And the only way that's going to happen is when we learn to operate in a respectful manner towards each other. And respect is certainly something that is not very commonplace within the alternate media. Everybody seems to have their own agenda, and everybody seems all too willing to call out anybody who doesn't agree 100% with their own little boxed view of reality and their own little boxed view of what the future should be. There's very, very few people who seem to want to look at things holistically. There's very few people who seem to want to respect others. And there's people who will look at elements of change that we can do, such as permaculture, such as even the Vedic cultures that are outlined in the Anastasia books. There's people that wish to put these sorts of things in place, but they still don't address the concept that we have to buy land. They still want people to buy land so they can create their alternate community, which will never work because they didn't deal with the community that they're running away and trying to escape from which you cannot escape if you live on this earth. That is the problem, folks, with so many of the little permaculture communities and alternate communities and the Anastasia communities that are springing up around the world. There are no people that are addressing the fact that you can't actually do any of this until you address the system at hand, which has created the need for you to go and attempt to put this band-aid on the problem, which is what going and building an alternate community is. It's attempting to put a band-aid on the problem of the social corruption of this community. But you're not going to fix anything that way, folks. You might create a little bubble you can live in for a little while, but eventually the system will come for you anyway, because you still live on the same earth as everybody else. And you turned your back on the system rather than confronting it, stopping it in its tracks from what it's doing and helping steer it in a different direction. And you're not going to steer it in a different direction by attempting to create a new system or a new model and sell it to the people. You're going to start steering it in a new direction by changing your own moral compass and doing the right thing in all that you do. Because when you do that, you don't have to change anything else. The system will change around us. It will be an organic process. There will be nothing else to do. That's why it is useless trying to present a new system and sell it to the public, present a new idea to the people and sell it to them. It won't work. What you've got to do is awaken them to an old idea, and that idea is the old, ancient tradition that each individual on this planet has value and is actually worth something. Because that's the truth of the matter, folks. Everybody does have value, and everybody is worth something. Even the psychopaths have value. The psychopaths that are running the world, these warmongering little terrorist politicians, they have value, folks, because they're waking the world up to the fact that we have power and we can affect change ourselves. They're waking us up to the fact that we really don't need these little psychotic morons screwing things up the way they are. And if we choose to step into our power, step into our warrior spirit and stand up and call things for what they are, then we'll make a difference, and we can make one very, very quickly. And we're being put in a need where we have to, folks. I mean, the Earth is falling into a state of disrepair very, very quickly. It really is. Fukushima pouring waste into the ocean. And nuclear energy, folks, nuclear energy is so stupid. It really is. The most moronic thing that anybody can do. It's the most stupid type of energy source we've ever invented. And these morons out there say, oh, it's a lot better than coal because it doesn't pollute the way coal does. Rubbish. Have a look at the nuclear waste around the planet and tell me that it doesn't pollute. Of course it does. All we produced from coal fire stations is CO2, and CO2 is not a pollutive gas like the media and corrupt governments would have you believe. It's actually one of the building blocks of life. So nuclear power is ridiculous, folks, and all it really is a steam engine anyway. They just use nuclear rods to boil water. So a nuclear power plant is in fact a big glorified steam engine, and we're just running on steam power and destroying the planet while we do it. That's all nuclear energy is. It's a ridiculous way to power a country. It's a ridiculous thing to even invent. I don't know how someone's mind could be that deranged that they would come up with this stuff. But, of course, it's probably because most of our scientists are completely mad, folks. Of course they are. That's why they build things like CERN. That's why they attempt to build things such as nuclear weapons. That's why they do all of the things that they do. That's why they modify our crops and put fish genes in potatoes and all sorts of stuff like that and splice all the species together. That's why we're seeing bees getting dementia now because of the GM food that they're eating, because of the barium and the aluminium and all the aerial spraying and all the stuff that they're doing. We're seeing a very, very concerted effort to change this planet, folks, and to change the human race. We really are. We really are. Do people ever wonder why everything is wrapped in plastic? And sometimes it's wrapped within two or three layers of plastic. You know, you can open a box of disposable plastic cups and find that each plastic cup comes inside a plastic bag. What is the point of that? Well, the point is that all plastic products leak estrogen gas. They do. Which means that any food that comes wrapped in plastic is full of estrogen, which means the men start becoming feminized and the women start developing problems. This is why we're seeing the male sperm count drop. This is why we're seeing young males having a very hard time understanding and dealing with their sexuality. Young guys who aren't gay, but they're not interested in girls and they don't know why. There's some strange things happening to the human race, folks, and it's happening on all levels, right across the board, electromagnetically, biologically, physically, emotionally, socially, economically. The whole system is doing very, very strange things at the moment, and it's all been locked down into a smart grid, and it's about time the human race stood up and paid attention. And that's why I do the shows in the manner that I do, folks, because it gets frustrating. I've tried everything I can to empower people. I've tried every methodology I can think of, both within the system and outside it, and still people sit back waiting for something to happen. But it's not going to happen unless people are prepared to call things for what they are and just call things like it is and stand up and make a difference themselves. And that, again, is what we are trying to do with Full Circle Project. We really have to find a way of linking people up together and motivating people into standing up and being the change they want to see in the world themselves by getting involved on the ground themselves in their own community. Because that is what's going to make a difference. We can do it, folks. We can change the world. We can do it very simply by simply having respect for each other. But that respect needs to be respect enough for yourself to be able to call things out for what they are. It needs to be respect enough for yourself not to be led down rabbit holes, not to believe that everybody's against you, and not to believe that we can combat this system or change anything on this earth without some type of unity within the human condition. And that unity can only come from respect. And if we don't have an alternate media and an alternate movement, if that's what the truth movement is, if we don't have a movement that respects itself and respects the individuals trying to make a difference within that movement, and a movement that is free from people who have agendas that they're trying to push forward, and people trying to make money out of the hapless public by sending them down every rabbit hole they can think of, then we're never going to get anywhere. You know, you're not going to find the remedy by reading a book, folks. You're not going to find the remedy by buying someone's DVD. You're not going to find the remedy by doing any of the things these people want you to do. You're only going to find the remedy by applying yourself to your own community and being willing to make the difference yourself. That's where the change has to come from. And if you're not prepared to do that, then nothing in your community is going to change. There may be others that try to do it, but unless you get on board with them, then nothing's going to change. If we don't have unity, if we don't have cohesion, and we don't have focus, then nothing is going to change. And we've been given every opportunity we could have ever wished for in order to bring about these changes. The problem is that we're simply not participating. And that's why it gets frustrating for me, folks. It really does get enormously frustrating for me to see the very simple way we could change the world and how quickly it could be affected and how positive that change could be if people were to just wake up to themselves and get on board and get motivated and spread the word in their own communities and start taking action on the ground themselves. You know, without action, it's not going to happen, folks. We can do all the spiritual work we want. We can do all the inner work we want. We can go to have all the ceremonies we want. But if we don't apply it to the world that we live in and we don't choose to make a difference in our own lives, then it all amounts for nothing. And that's the problem, you know. It all amounts to nothing if we don't apply ourselves to the world. And sometimes I wonder what it's going to take to get people motivated, to get people to want to apply themselves. I mean, how bad does it have to get, folks? How much are we going to let these psychopaths destroy this planet before the human race as a whole stands up and calls it for what it is and basically says enough is enough? We've got all the opportunities we've needed to do it, folks. Look at the wars. Look what's happening in Yemen. Look what's happening in Gaza. Look what's happening in Ukraine. Look what is happening all around this planet. Simply because we're not paying attention. And when we do pay attention, we're too scared to actually stand up and do anything. But we have to do it, folks. We've got to get a little focus on the situation and get a little focus on ourselves. We've got to get rid of the fear in ourselves, our fear of our own potential, our fear of standing up and making a difference, our fear of what the outcome may be if we do stand up and speak our truth. We've always got a stake in the outcome, folks, and that's often what holds us back. But why have a stake in the outcome? I mean, what are you scared of? Death? Death is the only part of life that's inevitable. It's the only thing that's guaranteed to happen to you during this life. So you can't hang on to that your whole life. You can't go through life hanging out fear of death. I mean, imagine that, folks. It's like getting on a roller coaster ride, and then as soon as you get on the ride, you're sitting there going, oh my God, this ride's going to end, this ride's going to end, this ride's going to end. And you go through the whole ride worried about the fact that the ride is going to end one day. Well, you just missed out on the ride because you were so terrified of it ending. And that's what people seem to do with their lives. They seem to look at their lives this way. They're terrified of death. And yet death is the only part of life that is inevitable. It's going to happen, folks. And all the stuff you've accumulated, it's all gone. You can't take any of it with you. So why does it matter? It doesn't. What matters is what you do with the time that was given to you. What you do with the time here. What is the legacy that you leave behind? And how much did you improve the world by your presence in it? I truly believe that is one of the true meanings of life, folks, and that is how we can shift this consciousness forward. So put down the fear and let's all get involved. I'm sorry if the shows have been a bit full on lately, folks, but I thought, well, I'm going to put it in people's face because I think they need it, because they just don't seem to be paying attention to what they can do with the personal power that they have. We can fix all these problems, folks, but first we've got to see what the problems are and we've got to call them for what they are. But that's it for me, folks. I'm now completely out of time. It's been an absolute pleasure talking to you again today. Thank you to anybody who's ever made a contribution to the website. I really do appreciate them. I really do need them. And thank you again to anybody who has. But that is it for me. I'm now completely out of time. I'll look forward to speaking to you again next week. Please take good care until then, folks. Never give up on yourself. Never doubt your own power. I'll speak to you soon. In Lakesh.